In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The sermon today is a summary of an encyclical written by Pope Leo XIII, Annum Sacrum, on consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. To the patriarchs, primates, archbishops, and bishops of the Catholic world, in grace and communion with the Apostolic See. Venerable brethren, health and apostolic benediction. Already, more than once, we have endeavoured, after the example of our predecessors, Innocent XII, Benedict XIII, Clement XIII, Pius VI, and Pius IX, devoutly to foster and to bring about into fuller light that most excellent form of devotion, which has for its object the veneration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We do this for manifold reasons. Well, first of all, for ourselves we need to do it, that we may offer the love that he has put into our hearts, offer it back to him, and that we might bind ourselves to him. We must also, for the infidels, that they may come to his Sacred Heart, and then also to bind the state to him. And not only the state, but all of mankind, to bring it into sweet subjection to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then finally, we must have a veneration for the Sacred Heart of Jesus and consecrate ourselves to him as a sign and a cause of victory. We consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart for manifold reasons. First, so that Christ may, both as God and Redeemer, be adored. Christ reigns not only by natural right as the Son of God, but also by a right that he has acquired. For he it was who snatched us from the power of darkness and gave himself for the redemption of all. Therefore, not only Catholics, but all those who have duly received Christian baptism, and all men, individually and collectively, have become a purchased people. St. Augustine's words are therefore to the point when he says, "You ask what price he paid? See what he gave, and you will understand how much he paid. The price was the blood of Christ. What could cost so much but the whole world and all its people?" The great price he paid was paid for all. So our Blessed Lord should be adored both as God and as the Redeemer of all mankind, at least in potency. All that is required is the subjective redemption for mankind to welcome him as individuals. The second reason why we need a devotion and consecration to the Sacred Heart is so that we may offer him the love that he puts into our hearts. Pope Leo XIII continues, "To this twofold ground in his power and domination, the fact that he's God and the Redeemer, he graciously allows us to add voluntary consecration. Jesus Christ, our God and our Redeemer, is rich in the fullest and perfect possession of all things. We, on the other hand, are so poor and needy that we have nothing of our own to offer him as a gift. But yet, in his infinite goodness and love, he in no way objects to our giving and consecrating to him what is already his, as if it were really our own. Nay, far from refusing such an offering, he positively desires it and asks for it. 'My son, give me thy heart,' he would say. We are therefore able to be pleasing to him by the goodwill and the affection of our soul. For by consecrating ourselves to him, we not only declare our open and free acknowledgement and acceptance of his authority over us, but we also testify that if what we offer as a gift were really our own, we would still offer it with our whole heart. We also beg of him that he would vouchsafe to receive it from us, though clearly his own. Such is the efficacy of that act of which we speak. Such is the meaning underlying our words." Now, the third reason, after offering him due adoration as God and Redeemer, and after for the purpose of offering him his love, we should consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart so that we bind ourselves to him. And since there is in the Sacred Heart a symbol and a sensible image of the infinite love of Jesus Christ, which moves us to love one another, therefore is it fit and proper that we should consecrate ourselves to this, his most Sacred Heart, as an act which is nothing else than an offering and a binding of oneself to Jesus Christ, seeing that whatever honor, veneration, and love is given to this divine heart is really and truly given to Christ himself. We must also consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart and also the infidels, those who do not believe. But shall we allow to slip from our remembrance those innumerable others upon whom the light of Christian faith has not yet shined? We hold the place of him who came to save that which was lost and who shed his blood for the salvation of the whole human race. And so we greatly desire to bring to true life those who sit in the shadow of death. As we have already sent messengers of Christ over the earth to instruct them, so now, in pity for their lot, with all our soul, we commend them. And as far as in us lies, we consecrate them to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Not only do we consecrate the infidels, ourselves and the infidels, but also the state. Such an act of consecration, since it can establish or draw tighter bonds which naturally connect public affairs with God, gives to states a hope of better things. In these latter times especially, a policy has been followed which has resulted in a sort of wall being raised between the church and civil society, separation of church and state. In the constitution and administration of states, the authority of sacred and divine law is utterly disregarded, with a view to the exclusion of religion from having any constant part in public life. This policy almost tends to the removal of the Christian faith from our midst, and if that were possible, of the banishment of God himself from the earth. And this has already happened in our society. This was written in 1899, so 120 years later. It's already happened. Total separation of church and state. We live perhaps in one of the most secular countries of the world. God has been banished from public life. When men's minds are raised to such a height of insolent pride, what wonder is it that the greater part of the human race should have fallen into such disquiet of mind and be buffeted by waves so rough that no one is suffered to be free from anxiety and peril? And that's true. We are in a time of anxiety and peril. When religion is once discarded, it follows of necessity that the surest foundations of the public welfare must give way, collapse. Whilst God, to inflict on his enemies the punishment they so richly deserve, has left them the prey of their own evil desires, so that they may give themselves up to their passions and finally wear themselves out by excess of liberty. Isn't that happening today? We are free to do anything we like. There's no taboos, no moral inhibitions anymore. We are free to follow our passions. And where does that lead us? It leads us into slavery. It leads us into the dissolution of society at large, and society, the smallest and the most valuable society, the society of the family. So we need to consecrate ourselves and the state to our Lord Jesus Christ, to his Sacred Heart. And then we need to consecrate ourselves and the whole of mankind to the Sacred Heart, to bring it into subjection and to bring peace to all humanity. Hence that abundance of evils, which have now for a long time settled upon the world and which pressingly call upon us to seek for help from him, by whose strength alone they can be driven away. Who can he be but Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God? For there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. We must have recourse to him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We have gone astray, and we must return to the right path. Darkness has overshadowed our minds, and the gloom must be dispelled by the light of truth. Death has seized upon us, and we must lay hold of life. It will at length be possible that our many wounds be healed, and all justice spring forth again with the hope of restored authority, that the splendors of peace be renewed and the swords and arms drop from the hand where all men shall acknowledge the empire of Christ and willingly obey his word, and every tongue shall confess that our Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of God the Father. So not only must we consecrate ourselves to God to return his love, to bind ourselves to him, to bring infidels back to Christ, to bring the state back to Christ, to bring the whole of mankind back to Christ. We must consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart as a sign and a cause of victory. When the Church, in the days immediately succeeding her institution, was oppressed beneath the yoke of the Caesars, a young emperor, Constantine, saw in the heavens a cross, which became at once the happy omen and cause of the glorious victory, Malvern Bridge, 312. That soon followed, and that was the victory that brought him to power, and he became the first Christian emperor and made Christianity, Catholicism, the religion of the Roman Empire. So less than 300 years after the death of Christ, the whole of the civilized world had converted to Christ. Quite miraculous, quite miraculous. And so we must have a devotion to the Sacred Heart to bring about the same victory, another victory. And now today, behold, another blessed and heavenly token is offered to our sight, the most Sacred Heart of Jesus, with a cross rising from it and shining forth with dazzling splendor amidst the flames of love. In that Sacred Heart, all our hopes should be placed, and from it, the salvation of men is to be confidently besought. Finally, there is one motive which we are unwilling to pass over in silence. Personal to ourselves, it is true, but still good and weighty, which moves us to undertake this celebration. God, the author of every good, not long ago preserved our life by curing us of a dangerous disease. We now wish, by this increase of the honor paid to the Sacred Heart, that the memory of this great mercy should be brought prominently forward and our gratitude be publicly acknowledged. And then he announces how he is going to enact the consecration to the Sacred Heart. For these reasons, we ordain that on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of the coming month of June, in the principal church of every town and village, certain prayers be said, and on each of these days there be added to the other prayers the Litany of the Sacred Heart, approved by our authority. On the last day, the form of consecration shall be recited, which, venerable brethren, we sent to you with these letters. That's the consecration to the Sacred Heart of both Leo the 13th, which we say on the first Friday of every month. You can find it in your missal, I'm sure. As a pledge of divine benefits and in token of our paternal benevolence to you and to the clergy and people committed to your care, we lovingly grant in the Lord the apostolic benediction, given in Rome at St. Peter's on the 25th of May, 1899, the 22nd year of our pontificate. So, my dear brethren, but this is Pope Leo the 13th, and he mentions successive popes who enjoin us to have a devotion towards the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it is quite possible that this is the devotion of our time, the devotion of the hidden love of our blessed Lord, because that love is obscured in the world, even obscured in his church. We must have confidence in that hidden love of our Lord. When everything seems desperate, we know that devoting ourselves to the Sacred Heart and calling upon the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that fount of mercy and grace, is ever open to us. So let us pray through Our Lady that we may have a tender devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.